Blessed be our God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us sing the song of Mary the Magnificat, which is found in the first section of your blue hymnal, S247. Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. A reading from the book of Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that she has served her term, and that her penalty is paid, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass, like their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them to his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the second letter of Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, While you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judea countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Holy Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I lived in Kansas, I knew a man whose name was Tom Tatlock. Tom was a member of my church. He had lived in Wichita, Kansas for his whole life. He and his wife were both Cradle Episcopalians, and they raised their children at St. James Church. Tom was successful in his career, and they had four healthy children. They bought a home in a nice residential area near the church called College Hill, where they raised their children. Tom loved being a dad. After their children had grown up and gone their own way, one evening, Tom and his wife were having dinner when they heard a knock at the door. It was their second son. He was in his 30s, an artist, married and happy. But when Tom opened the door, his son didn't look right. "Dad," he said, "my wife left me. She left me and she won't tell me why, and she's not coming back." Tom said, "My son, I'm so sorry. Come inside. You can stay with us as long as you want." He took his son upstairs to his old bedroom, put him to bed. In the middle of the night, Tom heard a shot. His own son had killed himself. He had brought a gun, and he just couldn't take it anymore. By the time I knew Tom, he was in his 80s. His wife had died after 60 years of marriage, and he lived alone in that same home in College Hill. He used a walker to push his way around, and his house was very cluttered, full of papers everywhere, because Tom loved to read. One of his favorite things was when I would come visit him with my two boys. Jacob was 2 and Luke was about 4. On a snowy day, we would put on our boots and we'd traipse through the snow about 4 blocks until we got to Tom's house. We'd knock on the door. He'd come shuffling to the door with his walker. He always got ready for our visits. He always had 3 things prepared for us. The first thing was cookies, Fig Newtons. My son Jacob corrected me after the 9 o'clock service. I thought it was Oreos, but he made sure that I got it right for this service. It was not Oreos, it was Fig Newtons. Tom would give the boys 1 Fig Newton for each hand. 1 cookie for each hand. He would clear off his kitchen table of all the papers, and he would also make his neighbor go get a fruit cake for me. And I never had the heart to tell him I really don't like fruit cake, but he always had his poor neighbor go and get this fruit cake. And then the third thing that he did to get ready was the funniest tradition of all. He would put a candlestick on the floor of his living room. And he'd make us come into his living room, he'd shuffle in there with his walker, and he'd sit down on the sofa with a huff and make sure I sat down next to him. Then he would line the boys up behind the candlestick, and he would chant,
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick, Jack jump over the candlestick. And he'd make the boys jump over the candlestick. And they would jump and laugh, and he would laugh, and they would laugh, and he would laugh, and I would wonder what in the world was so funny. But I always wondered, what was the bridge with Tom? When I say the bridge, I mean, what brought Tom out of his great sorrow? How was he able to go from losing a child to welcoming children into his home and laughing with them? How did he do that? What was the bridge between grief and joy? On this, the second Sunday of Advent, we always remember John the Baptist. I always think of John the Baptist, or in the ancient Greek, it's more John the Baptizer, the one who baptizes. I always think of him as weather-beaten, dirty, grizzly, wrinkled from lots of sun and lots of wind, wearing animal skins and eating bugs, a homeless man in the desert. Look at the cover of your bulletin. There's a painting there. It's a painting of John the Baptist that's very different. He's very young looking, isn't he? And quite handsome. Of course, they always are in the paintings. I've always wondered about John the Baptist, the same thing that I wondered about Tom Tatlock. What was the bridge? You see, John the Baptist was born very wealthy and very privileged. He was born the son of Zechariah, who was the high priest in the temple. If you remember from the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, Zechariah goes into the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies. There was this room inside the temple. Only one priest was allowed there on one day of the year. Only the most holy, most respected priest was allowed to enter that Holy of Holies one day a year. And it was Zechariah who was chosen that year. And it's inside that space that he hears an angel tell him he's going to have a son. So John was born to the creme de la creme of Jewish society. He was born to the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe, to a father who was invited into the inner sanctum. He would have been educated by the top rabbis of his day. He would have had the equivalent of a Harvard education. And John was their only child. And Zechariah and Elizabeth had waited their whole lives to have him. So he was very loved and very privileged. I always have wondered, what was the bridge between John's life of privilege and his life as a homeless man in the desert? What happened? I finally sat down and asked Tom Tatlock about his bridge. "How do you do it?" I said. "How do you have such joy when you've lost a child?" "Kate," he said, "for 2 years, I was numb inside. It was like I was dead. I couldn't feel anything. I went through the motions of life, and that was it. And then one night, I fell on my knees by my bedroom window, and I started to cry. And the tears, they just kept on coming and coming and coming. until I was completely empty. There was nothing left. Nothing but me and silence. And then he came. Jesus. I couldn't see him. I didn't hear his voice, but I knew he was there. And I knew with all my heart that he loved me, that he was smiling at me, and more importantly, that he loved my son. And although I will never understand in this life where my son is, I know that God loves him. And with that knowledge, I was able to begin to laugh again and to live again. I don't know what happened to John the Baptist, but I do know this. John the Baptist had an experience of the Christ before he baptized Jesus. I know this because he talks about the one who is coming as if he already knows him. He says, the one who is coming is so great, I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. What that meant was, back then when someone was very wise or very holy, a teacher or a rabbi, you would touch their feet. Sometimes you would touch your head and their feet as a way of saying, my head belongs at your feet. I am to learn from you. To not be willing to touch his feet is to say, this person is in another league. He's of another quality entirely, from another world. And John would say, get ready, make his path straight, make a highway for our God. Get everything out of the way, clear a path. Get your stuff out of the way, get your worries out of the way. Make a way for God to come to you. Because that's the most important thing of the world, for him to come to you. Clear a path for him to make his way to you and find you. That's what repentance is, you know. It's when we get ourselves and everything else out of the way so that God can come to us. Sometimes it takes a terrible tragedy for us to do that. Sometimes we're able to do it just because we're so hungry for God and tired of being consumed with ourselves that we make room for God in our lives. Make a straight path, John said, a highway between God and yourself. It was 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning when I got a call. Tom Tatlock was dying. His remaining children had gathered at the hospital and they wondered if I could come. I got on my boots and my collar, bundled up, and drove over. Let's say the last rites. Oh yes, they said, he loved the words of the liturgy. So we read them together. From all sin, from all tribulation, good Lord, deliver him. As we were reading the words, Tom slipped away. What if this Advent season you were really to make a way for God to enter your heart? What if you, while you're decorating your home, what if you decorated inside cleared a space there. What if you got ready for Jesus to enter your life in a way that he never has done before, more fully and more completely than ever before? What if you were able to step out of the way and allow him in? What if? Get ready, John the Baptist yelled out in the wilderness. Make a highway between you and God and let him come to you. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, come among us. For all who are ill, suffering, lonely, or in distress, Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the welfare of the world, for peace among nations, wisdom for our leaders, and an end to all hunger and suffering, Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the Church Universal and this congregation here gathered, that we may be faithful word and sacraments. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the departed, that they may be welcomed into your light and presence. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For everyone gathered here, give us courage, strength, and perseverance to reserve time for you during this Advent season. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
We give thanks for the coming of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
Let us confess our sins to God. God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here. If you are new or visiting, we hope that you'll fill out a little card that's in your pew so we can send you our e-newsletter. And we have welcome bags at the back of the church and people who can give you a tour. We're so glad you're here with us today. Following this service, we have coffee hour in Tolliver Hall, which is out this way. And there is a tree that is called an angel tree. You have probably heard of an angel tree, right? Most of you know that we are right next door to a homeless shelter for women and children called Community Connections. Those women need some help getting presents for their children. So we have little tags. They look like ornaments. You can pick one off, and it gives the name of the child and about the age and some things that they'd like. If you would be willing, each one of you, to pick a tag, we could get all the presents that are needed at that shelter, and we'd be so grateful. So think about that while you're getting gifts for your loved ones. If you could get gifts for one extra child, that would be wonderful. We also have some booths there that are alternative gifts that help people throughout the world, and you can read more about that in your bulletin. Father Perry will also be signing books in Tolliver Hall, and those books, man, they're selling like hotcakes. That's awesome. A new Dean's Forum began today at 9 o'clock, and I heard it was just wonderful. It will continue for two more Sundays following this one, and it is taught by the Reverend Bill Russell, who's around here somewhere. There he is. And it's about the Book of Revelation. So if you've always felt like you wanted to understand that wild book, come to the Dean's Forum. Lastly, but not least, we are still wrapping up our pledge drive. We're doing better than last year. But we still have a few people out there who are members but have not yet pledged. If you could just fill out that card, we know that you're committed, and we'd be able to write our budget for next year. So think about that. And for all of you who have done so, thank you so much. I am writing thank you notes. It takes me a long time, but I will write to every single one of you. I'm so grateful for you. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced a people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them, you raised up Jesus, our Savior, born of Mary to be the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us into the likeness of Christ and reveal us into a living temple to your glory. Remember, Lord, your church in every land. Reveal her unity, guard her faith, and preserve her in peace. Bring us at the last with John and all the saints to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you have created us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by him, with him, and in him, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.